B-Pod Studios.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Welcome back to Zolak and Bertrand. Noontime hour on a Thursday. It's a Twisted Tea Thursday here on Zolak and Bertrand with Chase Winovich. Twisted Tea is more than just original hard iced tea. It's a whole new attitude. Grab some Twisted Tea and tailgate like a pro every game. Twisted Tea. Keep it twisted. Enjoy responsibly. Chase Winovich with us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Chase, how you doing?
Hey, guys. Great to be here.
How's that Miata in the snow?
I had a lot of questions about the Miata if I was going to take it today, but fortunately, I actually have a Jeep as well, so I didn't have to drive with the top down to work nice. Today.
Very nice. Did you get the proper shovel? I mean, you're a Pennsylvania guy. You don't need to be told what the proper shovel is, but we heard that that came up as an item of discussion yesterday in meetings.
Yeah, I didn't realize the dirt shovel was so... You know, I didn't really put that much thought into evaluating the different types of shovels, but hey, the more you know.
I'm surprised to hear you say that. I would think you've given plenty of thought to all things, including shovels. I mean, whether you're using the plastic side, the fiber core handle. I mean, there's a lot that goes into these things, Chase.
Yeah, it's definitely worthy of consideration. I guess my thing is that. I just think I've realized that I don't have all the answers, and I think it's fun trying to figure some of the unknown things out, I'd say.
We will ask you some football questions, but what's going on with the used dog treadmill that you're trying to sell? We've seen some things on this in recent days. Your tweet said, I am selling a dog treadmill. If anyone is interested, impressive piece of machinery that unfortunately did not capture Zeus's heart. Unfortunate to hear that, but tell us some of the features of the dog treadmill.
Yeah, so it's a beautiful piece of machinery, like I talked about. As the tweet explained, unfortunately Zeus, wasn't a huge fan of it, but it is looking for a new and better home to make room, I guess, for other gadgets that could potentially help my football career and give me balance and peace in my life. And Zeus's breed is a Samoyed, and Samoyeds are one of the oldest dog breeds in the world. And so they're obviously like work animals, and they're very active. So, in my head, I'm like, okay, I want to be able to stabilize and bring stability to, his workout routine. It sounds weird to consider, but his workout, like being able to have fitness regardless of what the weather is outside, just making sure he can be active. But, that was pretty idealistic. Didn't work out like that. Like I said, Zeus wasn't a huge fan, but I'm hoping, maybe I could find the right buyer. If not, I'll just donate the thing. But like I said, it's a lumbering piece of machinery. You can't really fold it up. So I'm stuck with this giant dog treadmill that I need to do something with. So if anybody wants one.
Where the hell do you buy this thing? Where do you even buy it at? What does this thing cost?
So I bought it online. It was pretty expensive, at least like $500, I'd say, maybe $600 if you like factor in the shipping. But that's not even the craziest thing I bought. I actually bought a sauna on Amazon, and I loved it so much. I bought my parents one back home, and then I bought my brother one as well in Toledo. So it's been great.
Did you say a sauna?
Yeah,
a sauna. Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty generous for Christmas, I'd say.
Yeah, is the dog treadmill leaning up against the sauna in the photo online?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, what are you asking for, and what do you think you would take? I mean, maybe we can get somebody interested in this thing right now.
Yeah, honestly, if I got enough money, I'd just probably just give it away or give it to some animal-related charity. But I was thinking it'd be more practical to actually just donate the treadmill at that point to like the animal I don't want to say hospital, but
a shelter needs to.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. If that's something that would benefit, I mean, I'm open to hear that out. Or, you know, if the offer's good and people just want to pay me cash for it, somebody really needs a dog treadmill ASAP, then we could probably work something out. Maybe I could sign it for them. You know, it's a pretty unique opportunity. I'm definitely not opposed to doing things outside the box.
Maybe you throw in a sweetener, like an autographed football or something, you know, a little along with the treadmill.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or you could just maybe give it to maybe just give it.
T can come in and you know, throw some products at somebody's way for a treadmill. You know, whoever takes it, ooh, you never know.
That. You could give it to Mike Reese. He's a little guy. He can run on that.
No comment, Mike. I love Mike. So I can't let you disrespect Mike like that. He's got a big heart.
He's got a big heart.
Yeah,
he sure does. Hey, obviously bad ending to the road trip for you guys last week. What went wrong, especially that first series in that game for you guys against the Rams?
Yeah, I said this, you know, on the interview whenever I got back. It's just obviously, you know, you always want to take personal responsibility and look at first to how you can improve individually. But I mean, the first drive, just, you know, we obviously were making the plays we needed to make, and they got the best of us. That's football. You know, the teams are going to, you know, they got good players on their team, great coaches, and they made some plays. That's really all it comes down to. And obviously we have to be better. So there's no excuses here.
Zo, I feel like you killed the mood with that. I'm not going to lie.
Well, I mean, we got to do a little football here. We got to do a little football.
Oh, we already talked about last week.
Yeah, I know you talked about it, but I mean, hey, it's – you're down 2% odds for the playoff. I mean, we could talk playoff scenarios and all that, but it's one game at a time for you guys, right?
Exactly. One game at a time, and even less than that. I'd say one day at a time, because, you know, one day you got the weather's fine, and then the next you got 2 feet of snow. So you never know in New England. You just got to take things slowly and piece by piece.
I just got an offer via text from a guy named Stephen Daly. He's willing to trade out golf lessons for that dog treadmill. You interested in golf lessons, Chase?
I'm all open for some bartering.
Okay.
But cash,
and deal.
There's an old quote from my high
cash
school
is king.
Coach. Cash is king.
You don't want
Bill Turpat.
You don't want to swap it for a hide of
Bill Turpat. Cash is king. We would try to make offerings in high school to like as a collective when I was younger, where we'd raise money to get out of like a Friday workout or something if it was like really hot, and we'd offer him like Diet Mountain Dew because that's what he loved, and everyone would be chanting, and it was pretty funny. He'd always go, "Cash is king," so it's definitely stuck with me.
All right, well, I'll keep looking.
Keep seeking offers. Brandon Lawson.
I think they'll come in. Maybe we could put it towards finding Brandon Lawson.
I was going to ask you about this because I love following your Twitter account. And so you had a tweet, I don't know, maybe last week. And all it was very simple. It was to the point. Brandon Lawson is still missing. And so I read that, and the way I interpret that as a consumer of your content is that you're continuing to raise awareness about this story. Like there could be a development there at some point, but how can there be a development if people aren't aware of what's going on with it?
Exactly. The Brandon Lawson story is obviously something that I've brought up a couple times on here, but like I said, it's extremely fascinating as to, you know, what happened to his disappearance. And if you look past like the fact that, yeah, he was doing some things he probably, you know, shouldn't have been involved with, you know, just the disappearance and like the evidence that they had in general was pretty interesting. But I don't have much time for worrying about Brandon Lawson yet until after the season. So you just got to stay focused on football for now. But the quest for Brandon will continue.
All right. So how's a week of preparation going? How are things going on the football front as you get ready for this game?
Yeah, things are going well. We were in the bubble yesterday, so trying to get ready for some sunny conditions down in Miami, a little different weather than here, I'd say. Like I said earlier, just taking things one day at a time.
Does he crank the heat up again like most years? Is it hot in there?
Yeah, it's pretty hot.
Wow. I'm sure you'll be in there today.
Yeah.
You'd rather be outside, wouldn't you?
I do like it outside, man. Playing in the snow is pretty fun, but yeah, I don't make these decisions, so yeah, I just got to show up and go where they tell me to.
You ready to get some rookie quarterback this week? Ready to get him?
I hope so. You know, whether it's a rookie or a vet, it makes no difference to me. I just want to get after the quarterback. So
let me ask you a serious question here regarding a guy like Tua. How different is it when you defend a guy that's a lefty compared, you know, to the righty, you know, especially, you know, his dominant side when you study it?
A couple things you got to be considering of, like, there's certain aspects, like, I'm not going to name them, but certain quarterbacks, I mean, every quarterback has tendencies on how they like to play. Some quarterbacks like to roll out and throw it. Some quarterbacks like to roll out and throw it to one side particularly and not the other side. And like, they'll look to scramble on that side versus throwing. And just general pocket movements and how they evade defenders. But with a lefty quarterback, you have to worry about them actually booting to your right versus a righty quarterback booting to your left as a defender, which, you know, is something just to keep in mind, because, like, if you're on the right side, you obviously got to be aware for that. So.
All right. Okay. It is time for the Twisted Tea question of the week from Kerry O. in Cambridge. Kerry has a very simple question for you, and that is, hot dog or corn dog?
Corn dog all the way. Kennywood corn dog.
Kennywood. Hey, did you ever go to the potato patch all the time at the base of the
Patch? Man, of course. The Thunderbolt.
Hell yeah, man. You get the cheese, you ride the Thunderbolt, then you get on there, you can throw up over there on the turtle.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Then you go on Noah's Ark, right?
That's an upset. Choosing the corn dog over the hot dog. I mean, like,
I agree.
Every single time you would take, like, you only get one for the rest of your life. So no more hot dogs. You're willing to swap out hot dogs for eternity for corn dogs?
You haven't had a Kennywood corn dog, though.
Man,
that's his point.
Yeah, this is deep. We're talking about eternity here. I'm gonna swap it out. Corn dogs are just they're just elite. They're just one tier above. They're the evolution, I'd say, of hot dogs. You know, first man invented hot dog, and I guess they made some improvements that came out with a corn dog. What can I say?
Okay. Ketchup or mustard? Ketchup or mustard?
Ketchup.
Love it.
Yeah.
All right.
Upset, huh, Hardy?
I feel like Kerry in Cambridge had some sort of inside info to know to ask that question. That
seriously
feels like an inside job there.
Yeah, maybe. Something's up here.
All right, well, good luck selling the dog treadmill.
Yeah.
And Hardy will be in touch if he has any offers for you.
Yeah, if you guys get any offers, please let me know. Like I said, it's it's pretty impressive. You could take the top off. If you're light enough, maybe around 100 pounds, you could probably use it for yourself. But unfortunately, it's probably not for human consumption. So,
yeah. All right, Chase. Good luck, buddy.
All right, thanks, guys. Really appreciate your time.
See you. All right, Chase Winovich, Patriots linebacker on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline.
Wow, a little laugh throws me a little bit. A little giggle. A little giggle at the end.
We're all thrown off on the delay today, too.
Oh my God, it's atrocious. I'm sorry, it's atrocious.
Again, I don't know how the hell we did this for months on end, like it was no big deal. This is not like riding a bike. Let me just say that. You know, ride a bike, you jump right back on. It's like you were doing it yesterday. No problem. This? Nope.
Nope. Nope.
We're all messed up again today.
Yep. Hey.
What?
Hey.
I
thought you said hey.
A.
Oh,
B.
Hey. All right, ready?
C.
Ready? No.
Yeah.
So,
no.
Here we go. I'll do B. I'll do B.
Beatles B, Hardy C. Ready?
Yeah.
A.
B.
C.
It's a question. It's fine.
Can I go first now?
Yeah.
All right, I'll be A. Zo, you're B.
Okay.
A.
B.
C.
If you're on the line... I see some calls there on a number of things. Isaiah Thomas, Patriot stuff, hockey in a bubble, hockey in the hub, multiple hubs. We'll take your calls on all that. And if you have an offer on the dog treadmill, why don't you bring that to the table as well?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop, flop, flop. There.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Welcome back to Zolak and Bertrand. Noontime hour on a Thursday. It's a Twisted Tea Thursday here on Zolak and Bertrand with Chase Winovich. Twisted Tea is more than just original hard iced tea. It's a whole new attitude. Grab some Twisted Tea and tailgate like a pro every game. Twisted Tea. Keep it twisted. Enjoy responsibly. Chase Winovich with us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Chase, how you doing?
Hey, guys. Great to be here.
How's that Miata in the snow?
I had a lot of questions about the Miata if I was going to take it today, but fortunately, I actually have a Jeep as well, so I didn't have to drive with the top down to work today.
Very nice. Did you get the proper shovel? I mean, you're a Pennsylvania guy. You don't need to be told what the proper shovel is, but we heard that that came up as an item of discussion yesterday in meetings.
Yeah, I didn't realize the dirt shovel was so... You know, I didn't really put that much thought into evaluating the different types of shovels, but...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Cozy we are, closer than far, sounds of
Like 617-779-0985.
The hell's this? Who lost this bet?
Sounds like Neil Diamond. Is this Neil Diamond?
Yeah. Sounds like a whining pogue. Terrible.
I can't say I've ever heard this one.
Really?
No, I knew it was Neil Diamond. You could tell by the voice, but...
I mean, if you're Roy Barbosa, you're not putting this in a DJ playlist.
Well, he works at a hip-hop and R&B station. I'm not sure this would make it on there.
What would that list look like, Zoe? Mm-hmm. Give us the list.
Christmas Time in Hollis, Queens. Christmas in Hollis.
Same song.
Mariah Carey. All I Want for Christmas Is You.
TLC has a Christmas song, I believe.
TLC, okay.
I think, yeah. That would be on there.
And that's it.
I look at Loth getting cocky. Throw me under the bus.
Well, you sort of invited it.
I mean, you open the door and stuff, and then you don't want to talk about it.
You do that all the time.
Saying that's not one you put in a rotation anywhere. That one ever.
Who picked it? Louth or T-Bone?
I think Boyz II Men may have dabbled in Christmas music.
Yeah.
We did this a couple years ago. We played a whole bunch of like offbeat Christmas stuff. Remember that the Earth, Wind, and Fire 25th night of December?
No.
Oh. Yeah, they have a Christmas version of September. where they slightly change the lyrics.
Oh, hopefully there's one of those shreds.
Oh, come on! Put off the red nose reindeer out of every shiny nose.
DMX. That Eddie Money?
Oh. Them.
Do you remember when the fifth night of December love was changing
works.
The minds of while chasing the clouds away?
Because it's the same song.
Yeah, I feel like they didn't tweak it enough to make it have more of a Christmas sound to it.
Yeah, a little jingle bells in there.
Yeah, put a little jingle bell in there, would you? A little something. It's the same song. Man, can't wait till weddings are a thing again.
First thing you think of is a wedding when you hear this song. Because usually they play about three or four songs before that, but then they play this, and then everybody runs, flips tables over to get to the dance floor. Like, roll the sleeves up. Let's go.
I can't believe
Village
Zolak
People
didn't know
that. That's
the out.
Village People?
I know your dad is a big fan.
Ian Hardy got the Village People albums from our dads. How'd they not know?
Well, he thought they were in the Navy, so they were good, you know, veteran types.
He's a what?
Did he say
Wait,
Jesus
what was that
loved?
Line?
What did
Jesus,
he say he was going to do?
Jesus loves St. Nick? Is that the line there?
Right.
Now, this is a genre. Pop songs that were then transformed into Christmas songs.
Mm.
We've got two that we just played. We've just played two of them. Oh, man.
What are they waiting for?
Oh, this just...
Brody, guess what I got you for Christmas? A hard helmet and a vest and a walkie-talkie. What did he say?
Santa will make it right.
N-O-E-L, Noel, yeah.
Oh, okay, N-O-E-L. Yeah.
There were a couple of times in there where, you know, they had something going with the lyrics, and then they just decided, you know, we don't need to rhyme
they
it.
They quit. They sort of quit.
They just kind of tapped out, like, mid-phrase. Like, oh, yeah. That's a shame. They, you know, how many words actually rhyme with night?
Ah, no one's going to buy this record anyway. Who gives a bleep? Jeremy in Dorchester. Jeremy.
What's going on, guys?
Hey.
Want to make a quick point about Isaiah Thomas. I'm a huge IT guy. Don't get me wrong. 2016-17 season was one of the more fun ones I've ever watched. But if you remember, he was dead last in the league in defensive rating and efficiency, I believe. And there's really only two ways you can get away with that. And it's that guy scoring at a high clip, or if you can hide him on D with guys like Avery Bradley, Jay Crowder, Marcus Smart. I don't really see that happening with this team. But shout out my green teamers. I'll hang up and listen.
Okay, here's the thing that you can say about him, though. His role would be extremely limited. You know what I mean? Like,
well,
you're not relying on him for anything.
Okay, but does that sound like something that Isaiah Thomas would do?
It's either that or remain unemployed. So I think so. I mean, he strikes me as someone who's probably come to terms with where he is in his career.
And maybe so, Beetle, just not with the Celtics, not with the team that he feels really did him wrong. I don't see it working out that well and him, you know, willing to just take it because I
All
need
right.
a job.
Is it worth a phone call, though?
Sure.
Always is. That's his job. Yeah. Danny Jones to do that.
I would love it if he were willing to do that. Now, of course, he could contribute in, especially if he's playing at the level like these guys are saying he's playing at. And I take it with a huge grain of salt. We're talking about pickup games.
And by the way, the guy they signed this offseason is Jeff Teague, who defensively I think there are questions about. So are you going to have to hide Jeff Teague? You're going to have to hide him? They don't have Andrew Bradley anymore. They don't have that type of defender anymore.
What if the knee keeps bugging Kemba and Isaiah keeps scoring? And he's like, man, look what you're paying this guy. You're not paying me anything, and I'm playing, and I'm scoring. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I agree. It'd be a completely different role if he comes here. You'd have to have that understanding, and you got to have that talk with him before he gets here. But he's obviously not the same player he was three years ago.
Definitely not.
Yeah.
Cam is in the car on this very issue. Cam?
Hey, how you doing, guys? I got two quick points about Isaiah Thomas and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. First off, Beetle, I agree with you. I think it's a great decision. You can never have too much scoring. If it doesn't work, you release them. If it works, great. Number two, back in April, I did call and I said about Tampa Bay, it's a place where people go to retire. And, you know, I take great joy out of watching Tom Brady because, he's not going to win a Super Bowl there. That's what you get for going with a mediocre coach in a mediocre system in a mediocre city. You know, it's full of retirees. Guys, thank you so much. You have a wonderful day.
Thanks, Cam.
Okay.
I thought we were going to get duped there.
I thought we were getting pumped.
Maybe we were headed for that. I'm like,
I was getting excited about it. Then
what
we did.
Happened?
Then we're like, wow, that's a real call.
He is. He's right about Tom Brady acting like an old retiree at the age of, what, 43 he is?
Yeah, 43.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Old man. It's too bad. I find his team hard to root for.
I'll be rooting for him this weekend.
I'm sure you will be. And he does. I mean, it's one thing to say, I'm not moving back to the Northeast. The weather there sucks, as perfectly shown today. Yes, get it. Great.
Did you see the other tweet he put out that football is fun AF?
I saw it.
Ryan Jensen?
Yep. Yep.
His center, who they thought he had a little dust-up with, which he didn't. They moved him to guard. That was Arians that did that.
You know what that tells me? All of this over the last week?
F-U-N.
Brady's having second thoughts.
He's trying to cover it up, isn't he?
Why does he have to be so outward? Why does he have to project this so much?
He should
say, I never want to live back up there. It's terrible. Oh, we're winning again, 80 degrees, you know, at 8-5, like he's a lock for the Super Bowl or something. And now he's bragging again about how football is fun. He's clearly not over whatever it is that happened here. He's not over it yet.
I just don't get the need to constantly, whether it's the video with him and Gronk talking about, like, Tampa Bay, underrated or overrated?
Underrated.
I mean, Tom Osmond
is like, why are you trying to ingratiate yourself to the city or to the fan base? You're Tom Brady. You're playing for the football team. You got a winning record.
I think they're trying to convince themselves of something. Like Tampa Bay is some great football team to be a part of.
Yeah, they're trying to convince themselves more than they are anyone else that they really like it there.
Yeah, that they really love it there, and they really love being Tampa Bay Bucks, the biggest loser franchise in the history of the NFL. They went from being the best team and best franchise in modern history to the worst one ever. And now they're trying to sell themselves on it being a great idea. And then it's nothing but fun and sunshine and 80 degrees and winning. Told you, he's claiming to be happier at 8-5 than he was at 8-0 here in New England last year. That's the truth.
I think he genuinely does like the weather, though. The other stuff, the football was fun AF and all that other stuff, I think. Yeah, you're piling on a little bit there.
And by the way, does he think that Bill Belichick gives two bleeps
about
Brady claiming to have fun down there?
He knows he doesn't.
Doesn't care. Does not care. 617-779-0985 is the telephone number. Our thanks to Chase Winovich for joining us earlier in the hour. Some other stuff we could get to today, Zoe.
Okay.
Why don't you pick for us?
Let's do baseball next.
Want to do baseball?
Yeah, let's do some baseball next.
Okay, we could do that. We'll do that coming up next.
All right.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
First, our introduction.
Zolak, Bertrand.
Double whammy.
Zolak and Bertrand. Continues 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Yeah, I think Hunter Renfro is just the beginning. When you talk to executives and agents in the sport, guys, they keep saying, keep an eye on the Red Sox, especially on the issue of starting pitching. And why would the Red Sox be interested in going for it? I think no matter what they do, people will still feel the Rays and the Yankees are better, but we don't know how big the playoff field is. But number one, they are bringing Alex Cora back. If you're bringing Alex Cora back, you're expecting to be better. And remember, the key offensive guys who struggled last year, namely J.D. Martinez and Rafael Devers and Andrew Benintendi, they performed very well when Cora was the manager. You would like to add them to Xander Bogaerts and Dalbec and Christian Vasquez and Verdugo. And you have a chance to have a top five offense again after really struggling offensively last year.
Joel Sherman talking about the Red Sox. That doesn't get me too excited, so. All he does is name all the players they have. That's all he did there.
Yeah.
Claims Hunter Renfro may not be it. Like, there may be more to the Red Sox going out into free agency. That Renfro may not be all they're done. You know, you got to think there's got to be more.
I thought there was going to be more to that sound.
There is. But it's not about the offense. It's about the pitching and what they might do on that front. More from Joel Sherman on that.
Let's remember Eduardo Rodriguez and Chris Sale didn't pitch an inning for the 2020 Red Sox. Eduardo Rodriguez, thankfully, let's knock on wood, he had COVID. He ended up with the heart condition, myocarditis. He's back on the mound throwing bullpens. The Red Sox believe, cross your fingers, that he's going to be a full go in spring training. They think they'll get Sale back at some point during the season, perhaps June or July. That could give you a top of the rotation to go along with Nathan Eovaldi, who was one of the bright spots on a bad team last year, Nick Bivetta, Tanner Houck. And again, they're in on pitching. You know, you throw a Jake Odorizzi in, all of a sudden, it's a better group. And I did talk to Chaim Bloom, their head of baseball operations, yesterday, guys. And one of the things he said is their goal is still to be sustainable for the long term as a championship team. So I translate to be, that to be, they're not going to trade any of their key prospects, and they're not going to, you know, say, do Trevor Bauer. But they can improve pretty much anywhere, and there's 300 free agents out there, and they have some money to spend. So I think when they see opportunities like Hunter Renfro, they're going to jump on it. So I would keep an eye on them starting pitching, and especially there's so many relievers out there, a way to deepen their bullpen.
Okay. That is, again, Joel Sherman on the possibilities for the Red Sox. Jake Odorizzi, yes, I'd be in on that. That's good. But is there going to be a rule that anybody that Chaim Bloom goes after in free agency, you must have played for the Tampa Bay Rays?
Jesus, huh?
Is that going to be a rule? It feels like that's going to be a rule.
They start to throw those words around. What is that? Sustainability long term.
Like, does that guy talk? Does he talk like that in private to these reporters?
I hope not.
Holy crap.
Like, that is exactly the type of words that would come out of Bloom's mouth, which tells you he talked to him yesterday, and that's what he told him. It's going to give you sustainability for the long term.
That's John Farrell syndrome. Can you just talk to me like I'm a normal person, please?
No kidding.
What is this crap? Like, Joel, you really sat there on the phone on the other end of that call and listened to that without being like, all right, can you give me that in plain, simple terms? Are you in or out this year? What are you doing? Oh, you know, all that, I interpret that to mean that they're not going to give up their prospects because they're not going to sacrifice their future and they're going to have long-term building. Why don't you just ask them? Hey, are your prospects on the table? Yes or no? Like, what are we doing here?
And it sort of has the feeling they're going to chase guys that have a name, but sort of getting them on the downside because you get them on the cheap, like a Renfro, right?
Like, you know the name. He had a terrible year this year. I think he barely played. Again, this is bargain bin stuff. Guys,
these are all guys. Yeah, bargain. Yeah, going digging through the dumpster and trying to get guys. This is like a typical Patriot approach to the wide receiver position. Let's get guys that commit to the end of the
quarterback
career that
have been, in a quarterback position.
I'm talking.
The Red Sox are looking for players for their roster the way the Patriots went looking for a quarterback last offseason. Dumpster diving.
Yeah, but I was going back to the the Eric Decker, Demaryius Thomas, Reggie Wayne days. You know, guys were really good at one time, but not that good anymore.
They're shopping at the yard sale is what they're doing.
Fans will know them. Fans will like the name, and they're going to be cheap. Yeah. Got to make a
none of that
first.
Gets me excited. None of it. A lot of their own guys who are back, and I think if their own players who they do have on the roster are healthy, I think they'll be a much better team. Speaking of Eduardo Rodriguez, did you see the video of him throwing a bullpen, I guess you could call it?
Popping?
Not really. He's inside, but he just looks great. Like, he looks really good.
Well, that's great.
He looks physically in good shape.
They need him to be good. Like everybody else he talked about, it's like, fingers crossed, right? You're like, well, best case scenario, maybe you're going to get sales somewhere around midsummer, and that's going to be a nice little shot. You know, that's if everything goes well. And like a lot of those, you know, pitching issues, you're keeping your fingers crossed on.
So he brought something up yesterday about the possible delay of the season. I wanted to ask Jim this. Do you think the month delay, if it were to happen, would it benefit the Red Sox or hurt the Red Sox to have the month delay?
I think it'd benefit them with just Sale alone.
I think so, too. I think the benefit lack of games in, and I don't know if we should call it a delay if they cut down the season, but no games in April cannot hurt this team. I think it actually
that's a less of a percentage that Sale's going to miss. He's going to be a bigger percentage of the season.
Yeah. So I would say that it's better if they don't have baseball in April for the Red Sox. It's fewer games they can worry about in that month. In a bigger portion of the season, they could potentially have.
Plus, the weather's miserable.
Well, no, that's a part of it, too. I mean,
right out of the gate, you know?
We've heard players on this team talk about how hard it is to get going. I think Xander Bogaerts, who is a great player, he's talked about how hard it is for him to get going in the month of April here when it's cold and it's gross. And, you know, who likes to do that? I mean, statistically, he's been fine in the month of April, but I know that he's just mentioned it a number of times before that sometimes it's been sort of hard to start the season. So I don't think there's any real downside of a delay for the Red Sox. 617-779-0985 is the phone number here on Zolak and Bertrand. Phone lines are open if you want to jump on board. And we'll be right back, so don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
617-779-0985. Got my favorite Red Sox caller on the line here. Alan in Florida. Alan, how are you? Happy holidays.
And same to you. This team has more holes than a Dunkin' Donuts donut. I mean, this team right now is a last place team. I mean, you just mentioned Bogaerts is a great player. He's a very good player, and he would have been a great player if they had a guy by the name of Mookie Betts on the team. I mean, who's first base? Who's second base? Who's going to pitch? Are you going to count on Chris Sale? Are you going to count on Hernandez? This is ridiculous.
Rodriguez.
This team with Chaim Bloom, he's better. He can put me to sleep quicker than an Ambien. I mean, this guy is just a...
That's a good line.
Yeah, this guy is an absolute disgrace. His boy Cashy made the right decision in the World Series, by the way. Did you hear him say that in the press conference? Cashy made the right decision.
Oh, I didn't hear that. When did he say that?
When he had a...
Was it the Cora press conference?
Yeah. Cashy. That's what he called him, Cashy. This team, you know, he never even really ran a team in Tampa Bay. He was always second banana. And Tampa Bay is not Boston. I mean, who's the first baseman? Who's the second baseman? Is Andrew Benintendi going to hit over 150? I mean, I don't understand this. This team, I mean, I think that Henry is bored, and maybe he should sell. Because these other teams are going, now you got a team like the Mets, they're going to go after everybody. You still got the Yankees, you got the Dodgers, you got Braves, you got teams that are Cubs now, teams that are going after players. They're going into the gas heap. I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm not going to celebrate my Hanukkah with the Hunt for Renfro. I mean, this is totally, I don't know what they're doing. I mean, this is an absolute last place team.
Maybe things could pick up in baseball after the new year. Things are odd right now. You know, the normal calendar of events isn't really going on. I did not hear Chaim Bloom say that, but I do know that he mentioned it and had some nonsensical answer when he did that Q&A that got put out. Was it last week? He did the Bill Burt Q&A. Here's what he said. Here's the question for Bill Burt. He said, analytics is a dirty word these days, primarily with the old folk, basically. And I'm generalizing here, people over 40. And a lot of people point to Game 6 of the World Series in the sixth inning when Blake Snell was pulled after a one-out single. The majority opinion was Kevin Cash let analytics make the decision for him rather than his eyesight. Being an analytics guy, what are your thoughts on the criticism? And Chaim Bloom said, I wouldn't look at it like that. I think what Kevin did there was basically the same thing that managers have been doing since the beginning of baseball, which is using some combination of all the information available at their disposal in their field for the game on the field to make decisions in the game now. What does that mean? Someone translate that for me. Again, this is like hearing from John Farrell again. John Farrell is back. This time he's running the front office.
It's like exactly almost what they didn't need.
He says people can obviously agree or disagree with the decision. Well, yeah, obviously. And we obviously disagree wholeheartedly. He says, but, you know, I don't view what Kevin was doing is any different from what managers have been doing since the game started. He's back to that again. The actual decision may be very different from what a lot of people would have done or what a lot of managers would have done. But at the end of the day, what you empower your manager to do is look at the total picture and make the decision that he thinks is going to give you the best chance to win the ball game. That is a non-answer if I've ever heard one. Crap answer. Crap answer. Crap results so far. Hunter Renfro. Yikes.
I was not particularly fond of Allen's analogy, though, that the team has more holes than a Dunkin' Donut. There's only one hole. Right. I mean...
Doesn't take much to have more than
two holes is one more, and you already got problems.
Right.
Man, is there a donut with more than one hole? Like the Kruller, that's kind of they twist it.
No, yeah, right?
It's airy. There's a bunch of holes inside it.
It's airy, but no, there's only one hole in a cruller.
Yeah.
No. One hole. That's it.
Donut with multiple holes. Maybe you're right.
Yeah, he messed that one. He messed that one up. There is a figure eight donut, though, isn't there?
Like, yeah, I was just thinking. Nah, it's like a.
Yeah,
but that's more
it's
like
a twist. That's more of a twist.
That's like a hot cross bun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, maybe there should be a different saying, like, "Oh, more holes than a pretzel." You know.
Right.
More holes than Swiss cheese. Piece of Swiss cheese.
Three holes in a an old school pretzel. You know.
Right. Right.
Why does Swiss cheese have holes in it? That is weird.
I'm sure we could find out.
It's the worst cheese ever.
I can tell you right now. Swiss cheese has holes in it due to the fermentation process used to create the cheese.
Yeah, it's made at a warm temperature around 70 degrees Fahrenheit, though. So the cheese is soft and malleable.
Yeah. So the cheese is made by introducing bacteria to milk, which begins to curdle as the bacteria eat and produce lactic acid. Another byproduct of the digestion process is often carbon dioxide, which is trapped inside the cheese, which forms the bubbles.
Gases come out, and then they create the round openings. Yeah,
I love watching mozzarella get made. You know, when they squeeze it, and they get it into the balls, and they squeeze it, and they put it in the water, you know, the liquid, and it's just, and then bang, you can eat it right away. It's just stringy. Mozzarella.
By the way, we've got emails already coming in that Alan meant an array of donuts, like a shelf of donuts inside.
He said a
Dunkin'
donut.
More holes than the donuts at Dunkin' Donuts.
We're getting multiple people defending him and his metaphor.
This one,
but you got to buy 12 donuts
from an attorney who has checked in.
Okay,
someone with a legal background. Specifics, the particulars. All right, fourth and final hour. What do you guys want to do with it? Anyone?
I'm sorry. What are you asking for the fourth and final hour? What?
Yeah. Zoe, you got any thoughts?
I mean, Jim brought up that interesting thing about, you know, the best athletes of the last 20 years.
Good. We'll talk about it next.
All right.
Good. Next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.